Hello, I'm Bishop Stephen Croft. Welcome to this edition of My Extraordinary Family. I'm here this morning in Emmanuel Church in Bicester. I came a few weeks ago on a Sunday and it was buzzing, and I've come back on a Friday morning and it's absolutely buzzing here. It's a cafe, it's a toddler group, there's all kinds of things going on. It happens 4 days a week. The church is open in this way as well as on Sunday. And I'm actually sitting somewhere where I've never sat before. I'm sitting at a nail bar in one corner of the church, and I'm talking to Erica Biscoe, who's one of the team here. Erica, thank you so much for joining me in this podcast.
Pleasure.
We can explain why I'm sitting at your nail bar in a moment, but can you tell me a little bit of your own story as a Christian disciple and how you come to be here as well?
So my background is retail. When I had my first child, I was retail manager for Topshop and worked in Oxford actually at one time. But when I had my first child, I really didn't want to go back into retail. They changed all the Sunday trading. And I had an opportunity, and then I kind of like got to the point where I thought, actually, I probably need to do something. And I had an opportunity to train as a nail technician. And I kind of thought, okay, this could fit in with the children. So it's a posh word for really being taught how to do manicures, pedicures, what we call tip and overlay, acrylics, gels. Yeah. So it's a posh word for that. And that fitted in with having my children till I got to child three, I think, or nearly child four. I've got four children. And life kind of changed then, because we went to live in Sheffield for 3 years, where my husband trained originally with Church Army. So in Sheffield, I kind of rested the whole kind of nail stuff there, got inspired, got introduced to the Book of Esther in a fresh way, and was part of a group where we all had to take a character, or I was given the character of Esther, to take that character, to be that character, and then to interpret that character. I fell in love with Esther. And then our first posting was to Hayford, just outside of Bicester here, 10 minutes down the road, to do church planting. And we did set up a kids' church from the response of the context that we were in. And at the end of kids' church, we used to have like 20 minutes, half an hour, where the boys would kick a ball around. And I thought, do you know what? I'll bring my nail varnishes along for the girls. And they just loved it. Yeah. And they would queue up, no charge, you know, just for people, and having quite interesting in-depth conversations with them, usually about faith. And so I prayed about this, and I was like, what's going on? You know, what does this kind of mean, Lord? Is there something here? And then I was reminded about the Book of Esther, and I was reminded about the fact that Esther went through 12 months of beauty treatment before she was presented before the king. And so I kind of, this whole kind of concept of Esther's nail bar originally, for me, kind of formed my story and my faith story. I became a Christian when I was 15. I was in a pretty bad place at that time. I was very low. I had no self-confidence, no self-esteem. And I had been in a situation which had caused me a lot of shame. And so I was in my RE teacher, believe it or not, unbeknown to me, was a Christian, took me along to Greyfriars in Reading, and I became a Christian there at the age of 15. I knew that my story would always, you know, I believe that our greatest ministry comes out of our greatest hurt, and I knew that one day God would want me to share my story. And so this whole kind of, I'm having that real passion for young girls, because I've been there, I know what it's like, and struggled through those years. I just really felt that that's where God wanted me to, you know, was leading me to. So I had this concept of Esther, I had this concept of nails and nail bar. Also, during this time, I was exploring ordination. Got selected as a pioneer minister and went to train at CMS and Cuddesdon. So I did that pathway where I did my ministerial training at Cuddesdon and my theological training at CMS. I was probably a pioneer of the pioneer, because I was the very first one to do that. And within the Oxford Diocese, it was really exciting, really exciting. So I went with this concept. And then one of the modules we did, which was a missional entrepreneurship week, where we went to Pickwell Manor in Devon. We used to every day sit around tables with, we called them brown paper table exercises, writing down our ideas, being pushed questions about budgets And at the end of the week, we had to do like a dragon den's pitch, which was the most scariest thing I've ever done, but probably the best thing as well, because it really helped you to kind of formulate what is it you're trying to do. And so I was still at that time calling it Esther's Nail Bar. I had this heart to actually take it on the road. That is one of my ultimate dreams, actually, to get like a Volkswagen style van or even like an old fashioned ice cream van that they can come up and have their nails done.
Yeah, sort of at festivals.
Yeah, that's really, that still sits there with me. Yeah. From that, I came away buzzing and thinking, what is it, Lord? What next? So then I started having conversations with people, getting them to catch the vision, got together with a group of ladies. They kind of said, actually, you seem to know what you want. Go away and put it together. And to be perfectly honest, Cherish was born from one morning. I sat down, so I know it's a God thing.
Yeah.
Because I sat down and I wrote 6 weeks of finding your own voice, true beauty, identity crisis, you are what you eat, dreams, goals and relationships. I came up with the headings, you know, what the shape of the sessions would look like, just really kind of got it all together. And so that's how that really kind of started.
And it's all grown from there. Now, I came in this morning and there's a big blackboard at the door saying free manicures on Friday.
Yeah.
And when I came in, there was a little girl having her nails done, which was lovely. But obviously, much more is happening around this basic concept of Cherish and beauty. So how does the whole thing work?
So originally, I was involved in the youth group here and I felt, you know, God say to me, take your manicure table along, you know, offer to do their nails. So that became a regular thing each week. And I was having conversations with the girls about anxiety and low self-esteem. And I think the thing with manicure, where it's slightly different maybe to having your hair cut, although there is a similarity, is as it's very much about touch.
Yeah, and you're face-to-face, of course, aren't
you? You're face-to-face. Yeah. But you're not face-to-face directly having that eye-to-eye contact. No. Because when you're doing somebody's nails, the touch, that breaks down. So you're actually talking to them, they talk to you, and there's something about that where they just relax. Mm. I see it time and time again. And these girls were sharing things with me that were obviously very personal to them. And it was like, what do we do with this? Mm. And that was another reason why, you know, putting Cherish together was really important for that. And they actually were the first group that we did it with. They're now university, post-university in this building with the room, and I had 2-3 other ladies come and help me. So we kind of piloted Cherish with that, with
so
those girls.
Cherish would be a course, a group that people come to?
I like to call it a journey.
A journey, yeah.
So we journey with the girls over 6 weeks. We're not counsellors, we're not professionals, we make that very clear from the beginning. But what we do is we share story, because we share story around the table. And that is a very important part of Cherish. I share my story in the first week of how I had to find my voice. I interweave that with the fact that Esther had to find her own voice. She was an overcomer. I talk actually also in that first week about masks. Different masks that we wear. Esther had to wear masks. We do have times where we wear masks, but when we take those masks down. So each week we have story. We also build up over each week about showing them how to do a basic manicure.
Yeah.
So each week they are shown how to do a basic a part of that manicure. We give them a bottle of polish at the end of each session with a little tag on, which has got a Bible verse on it. We give them journals at the beginning of the course. We give them evaluation pictorial sheets so that they can see where they are at the beginning, at the end of the course. And so we travel with them. We also have discussion time. And one of the things we've done as well, I don't do it every time, but we get guest speakers in. So someone who teaches them about fitness, someone who teaches them about looking after their skin, but not in a, you know, over way. So it's been running for 5 years. We're now into our sixth year.
Right.
So we've run it like a secondary school with sixth formers for a couple of years. We ran it last year in a primary school with year six girls transitioning to secondary school. Mm. We tried to keep the group small, not big. So the numbers aren't, we try not to be bigger than eight. We have at Cooper School, some weeks we have 3 or 2.
Yeah.
You know, where they weren't consistent, but we kept going through that.
But what I think one of the extraordinary things about this story is that when I first heard about Cherish some years ago, because I thought a lot about different fresh expressions over the years, It seemed to be something that was quite out there and unusual. The more I've heard about it and the more I've talked with you about it and the more I listen to what's happening in our society, it's absolutely at the centre of where the church needs to be. You know, we are, one of the statistics that haunts me is that we're in a society now where one in four teenage girls self-harms.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking to think about
and
that.
And they're under 14.
They're under 14, and people are thinking about these body image questions. Yeah. So something which helps people think about themselves in a healthy, positive way and takes people much deeper is so profoundly important, Erica.
I think as well, what has amazed me, why I know it's of God, is because this seed was planted and has germinated to culminate from 5 years of obviously Cherish being run, but years before that.
Yeah.
You know when you kind of like, you suddenly realise why you've been doing these things
the
over
the
years.
The sort of arc of your life.
It's like, this is my story.
Yeah.
You know, and I've realised now how relevant that is to today's culture. You know, the mental health and the anxiety that these, you know, I've got an 18, nearly 19-year-old daughter, so I know myself, you know, what she has been going through. And so I've realised that this is actually a really important resource. So what we've done now is put it together as a resource, as a pack, and it's actually been trialled. So I've got a very good friend called Penny Stradling, who's now training for ordination. And she was youth worker down in Fulham. So I knew her from CMS, so she knew all about Cherish, and she said, I'd love to run it down there. And I said, well, we could trial it. So she ran it with her youth worker down there, piloted that. It's the first time we've taken it out without us running it.
So it's beginning to travel now.
Yeah, so she took it out. We did all the boxes for her, but she said she couldn't believe. So she'd been working with these girls.
Yeah.
And I think that's quite key, actually, that I found. It's good to have built a relationship first.
People you know already.
Because then you build that trust.
Yeah.
You create a safe space.
Yeah.
And then it allows them to, when you talk about this stuff, which is really hard hitting, it allows them then to kind of feel they can trust you by sharing that.
Yeah.
And this is what Penny found, that she'd built up this relationship with these girls. And then by using Cherish, she said they were speaking about stuff that she'd never heard them speak about before. You know then God's hand is all over that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been hard. It was hard at Cooper School the last time, because coming away on reflecting on it, I realised that we don't go in and build up relationships with the girls. We go and offer doing this course, or they're chosen. They were chosen by the sixth form head. And there was a confusion between mindfulness and, well, I do CAMS, I don't need to do this. So there has been a real confusion. And so I think that, you know, within the secondary schools, we've got a bit of work to do there. So I think I know somebody who is doing like youth work with them in the school. So, you know, I think it's keen to, it's good to work
to enable
with them.
The people who are actually
because
doing it.
Because the trouble is, you have to remember, we're there for 6 weeks.
Yes, indeed.
So for me as well, as much as I'm an evangelist and pioneer, I'm also a discipler. And discipleship is the hardest thing.
So
once you've introduced them to Jesus, you know, you've introduced them to this hope.
Yes.
Because I think Cherish, Esther, is about redemption and restoration.
Yeah.
You know, once you've given them that, you want to maintain that. And within a school setting, that's obviously a little bit harder if you don't have somebody within the school. Mm. Within a church setting, it's a little bit easier. So I've carried on. In fact, I have carried on having a relationship with one of the girls from Cooper School, interestingly enough. So that's four years ago.
Fantastic.
Because I think for me, and interesting you say to me about numbers, and the reason I don't possibly know about numbers is because for me it's about the one. So every time I do Cherish, it's about the one.
That's,
and I can guarantee you
really
that
powerful.
Every time I do it, there will be one person that it's worth doing it for.
That's
because
really,
it's
really
the lost daughter. Yeah.
One, and Esther's about one
because
person.
She was the one.
Yeah.
Because I was that lost daughter.
Yeah.
I was the prodigal daughter. So I got a story to tell.
I'm asking everybody who does these podcasts what you're learning about the core of the heart of our vision as a diocese, to be more contemplative, compassionate and courageous. This is a ministry that springs from compassion, I sense. What are you learning as you go on this journey about compassion?
I've learned that I have to be a good listener, because actually if I listen to people, I find most of the time that's what they need, especially these young girls. They're not listened to.
No.
Just sitting with them
and listening
is really just a huge thing. And I tend to find that actually by the end of the conversation, I say, oh, I feel so much better. I haven't actually done anything.
No. No.
So I've learned to listen, which is a big thing for a person who is an extrovert and likes to talk. I've learned to listen. I've learned to try and really understand why they do the things that they do.
Yeah.
Because obviously social media plays a huge part in their lives. Posting images, you know, if they don't have so many likes and they take that picture off, trying to understand the world that they now live in is taking time, you know, from a person that didn't have a mobile phone when she was a teenager, for them where it's actually, you know, this is their life.
Listening.
You know, their That's persona. Really good. This is their mask.
Yeah. Erica, this is such a wonderful ministry. Thank you so much for telling part of the story. I look forward hugely to seeing where it develops in the future as you begin to make it available, and we'll put something on the website with this link so people can get in touch. Would you pray for the Diocese of Oxford and for these kinds of ministries as they're developing?
Love to.
Thank you.
Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this time. I thank you for bringing us around the table. I thank you for story. I thank you for the power of story. And Lord, I pray for these young girls that are out there, even now at the moment, Lord, that are suffering, that can't even leave their home from anxiety, from low self-esteem and self-worth, Lord. These girls are beautiful, beautiful to look at, Lord, that struggle within. And I know that you want to transform them from the inside out, Lord. And I know that there are people out there that have a heart to want to do that too. And I pray, Lord, now for those people particularly that have that heart, that you have broken their heart for these young girls out there, Lord. I pray that you'll give them the courage, that you'll give them the compassion, Lord, to reach out to them, that you will show them, Lord, just through conversation, just through listening, what they need to do, Father, so that we can, within the diocese, grow your kingdom, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Erica, thank you. And thank you for being part of this extraordinary family.
Thank you.